Carlsbad, People, Purpose, and Impact, an essential podcast for those who live, work, visit, and play in Carlsbad.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. My name is Brett Schonzenbach. I'm the president and CEO of the Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host this afternoon, and I'm excited to have a special guest with us today. We have Mr. Chris Cochran. He is the brand new Director of Operations for our Carlsbad Chamber Community Foundation. Chris, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome, Brett. Thank you. I don't know if I've ever been introduced as a special guest, so I'm rather excited.
You are. You're special to us. New. Let's see, what are we, about week 2.5 on the job or something, or three? Or
third full week. Today would be, I guess, my 15th day.
Okay. And we're excited to have you. And I thought, you know, this would be fun as a way for our members and our business community to kind of get to know you as the new guy at the team here at the Chamber. And so I thought we would go back and kind of look at your background, because you got a really fun and interesting background. And I kind of picked it up with your history with Stone Brewing. I think I have it correct that back in the day you were employee like number 20, I think. And then by the time you left, there was, I don't know, gobs and gobs and millions. So tell us about how you got involved with Stone and what you did there and what was your time like?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it is an interesting story, and I'm very faithful and thankful to have an interesting background, and one I'm very proud of. So yeah, with Stone, back in the day when there was microbrews, I was the weird guy going to UCSD parties where they'd have like five kegs, and I'd bring my own beer of like microbrew beers. I'd be like, okay, I want to try these. I was working for Daniel's Cablevision, which later became Adelphia, then Spectrum here in Carlsbad. My ex-wife and I, we had recently purchased a home in San Marcos, and a buddy of mine brought a housewarming gift, and it was a 6-pack of Stone Pale Ale. And we were toasting each other with a glass, and we were walking through the house, and he says, hey, did you know there's a map? This brewery is really close to your house where you moved here in San Marcos. And there's a little map on the bottom of the 6-pack. And I'll never forget, he's like, let's go over there. So we finished that beer. We drove over to the brewery. They weren't technically open, but the doors were open. And we walked in, and the CEO, Greg Cook, and his partner, Steve Wagner, were both there. And Greg looked at us kind of inquisitive, like, what are you guys doing here? And we're like, oh, are you open? He's like, well, no, but we can be. And he asked, how did you find us? And we held up the 6-pack with the map on the bottom, and he exclaimed rather loud to Steve Wagner across the brewery, Steve, the map works. Somebody found us from the map. And got to know Greg and Steve for a couple years before going to work for them. Started with them in early 2001 and started with them as their marketing and events director.
Nice.
Product and brand integration. That was my major at UCSD. And the 16-year plan went very fast at Stone. It was on a meteoric rise. Wow. As everybody knew, you know, we went from being kind of not really known to eventually being in the top 10 largest breweries in the United States. And it was a fascinating ride. So the first 8 years, marketing and event and brand integration. The second 8 years, community relations manager.
Very nice. And you were employee 20 when you started, right?
Yeah, roughly, right around there. It was. It might have been give or take a couple people. But when I left, I know that there was roughly 1,100 employees.
Wow, that is an unbelievable expansion.
And that wasn't just here in North County. You know,
sure.
They had a facility in Germany, a facility in Richmond, Virginia, a tasting room in Napa. And so all those people combined.
Very nice. So you were around there for all kinds of growth and expansion, et cetera. And so when you left Stone, you went over to another business that a lot of our members might be familiar with. You went over to Solutions for Change.
I did.
And you started working on their, do they call it hydroponic or aquaponic farm?
Aquaponic farm.
Yeah.
Solution Farms, at the time, it was the largest aquaponic farm in the Western U.S. Aquaponic means that you are also farming fish.
Yeah.
You're using fish as the fertilizing method versus just hydroponic, where you're adding nutrients into the water.
So you had this whole farm that required no soil, right? The plants are sitting in the water, and the fish are, you feed the fish create You know, by their waste, they create the stuff the plants need, the plants clean the water, and the system just keeps going.
Yeah, very cyclical, very closed-loop system. And it was fascinating, going from a company the size of Stone to Solutions for Change, which they worked to solve family homelessness.
Yeah.
So all of my people working at the farm, I was director of operations at the farm, were former homeless people.
Nice.
And I'm a people person. I like to talk a lot and talk to people. It takes some time for certain people to open up, but I would always ask these people, how did you get here?
Yeah.
What brought you to this spot? And for me, it was fascinating too, because I worked at the farm every day, and we had I was operations manager. We had the field manager, Jennifer Pankey, and Kevin Gorham was our grower. Three people I was working with, and then maybe 4 to 5 other employees there each day. So less than 10 from 1,000. And it was wonderful. I loved it. I was born in the Midwest. I really enjoy gardening and growing. And so it was something I had a lot of knowledge for and a thirst for. And so it was really fun, but it was something that was fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's great. And then from there, you came into the chamber world, not with us yet, but you had about a 5 or almost 6 year, maybe a stint at the Escondido Chamber.
I did. And that was a fascinating thing too. I think in my role at Stone, I was always out in the community. Stone was a big player at that time in the community and donating a lot of things and involved with a lot of organizations and nonprofits. Steve and Greg each had their handful of things that they wanted to support, whether that be the Boys and Girls Club, the Surfrider Foundation, et cetera. And we used to do a lot of stuff with the Escondido Chamber. You know, when Stone moved to Escondido, we did a lot of things with them. And I knew a lot of people, and the former CEO, Rory Johnston, reached out to me and said that their event person and office leader, Claudine, was moving to Texas. Her and her husband were fed up with California, and they're moving out. And she's like, I need to hire somebody, and would you consider coming to work for us? And, you know, I was going through things at the farm and talked to Chris Magason and a few other people and said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go work at the Escondido Chamber.
Nice. Now, of course, they then, you know, about 6 months ago had some of their own financial difficulties. We'll just leave it at that. And so created a new availability in your schedule. And so we are fortunate enough that you were interested in this new role that we've just now created and came and joined us.
I am thrilled at the opportunity and the potential. And I can't thank you enough, Brett, for reaching out. It's back to those connections that chambers make for any business, large or small. And if you want to get involved with the chamber, it will definitely lead to other things. And this morning at a coffee connection meeting, people said, oh, how did you get this role? And I explained to them. And I said, it's all about the connections. You know, you reached out and said, hey, we might have this opportunity. And I'm just absolutely just giddy about it.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick pause. We're talking to Chris Cochran, the new Director of Operations for the Carlsbad Chamber Community Foundation. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the foundation and what it does and where some fun initiatives might go in the future. But we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I want to take a moment to introduce you to our partners at Diff Mix Productions. They are a top-tier podcast management company that makes podcasting as easy as making a cup of coffee in your own kitchen. Diff Mix specializes in launching new podcasts and maintaining existing ones right from the comfort of your own home. No need to step into a studio or even change out of your pajamas. They've got the tech handled so you can focus on sharing your message. Whether you're a coach, trainer, salesperson, or someone who's just starting to explore the world of podcasting, Diff Mix is here to help. They'll transform your podcast into a powerful lead generation tool without overwhelming you with the technical side of things. Ready to start your own podcast? Visit diffmix.com. The link is in the show notes. Let Diff Mix handle the tech while you handle the talk. Now, back to our show.
So, Chris, when we were just chatting, we were kind of diving into your history and your background. And so the foundation, not a lot of our audience necessarily knows about the Chamber Foundation. Now, last year, we did highlight it a bit because during our centennial year, we hosted a big, fancy, fun gala to celebrate our centennial. And the funds, the revenue from that gala went to support our foundation. So we were, you know, able to kind of get some exposure for it. But we should probably, you know, talk a little bit about the foundation itself and some of the things it does. I know one of your favorite programs, because you had it both in Escondido and we have it here, is the Rising Star program. And it's a program, of course, run by our foundation. So talk about Rising Star and what you love about it.
Oh boy, that's, yeah, Rising Star. So Rising Star program is a program that's ran by many chambers of commerce, and it's to focus on those unsung heroes at each high school in the community. So here in Carlsbad, we work with La Costa Canyon, Sage Creek, Carlsbad High, and the Army Navy Academy.
Pacific Ridge.
And Pacific Ridge, yep.
And then we have the Carlsbad Village Academy and Carlsbad Seaside Academy, too. Those are very small, but okay. we have others, yeah.
I'm still getting up to speed on all the different schools.
That's great.
But it's one of the things where you're not recognizing the star quarterback, so to speak, or the super gregarious student that's out there that everybody knows. Most of the rising stars, everybody knows, but they know them because they've gone through a lot of difficulty. They've overcome so many things in their lives, whether they be from another country, coming here non-English speaking, working multiple jobs before school, after school, taking care of family. But also at the same time, these students are just exemplary. You know, they're 4.2s and things like that. And it just blows you away about their dedication and that they don't always see that hero in themselves and that they are this shining example.
Yeah.
And I've attended dozens of Rising Stars events over the years, and I think there's only maybe two I haven't cried at. I'm not a crazy emotional person, but every single one, just it gives me so much hope and inspiration. I personally don't have kids. I have an amazing cat, Tanner Finnegan, that is the raddest cat in the world, but without opposable thumbs. He doesn't go to school. So it gives me faith to see, you know, you might read in the news and see certain negative things, but you attend a Rising Stars breakfast, you walk away inspired and knowing this is our future. These are children that are going to be our leaders in the future. And it's just so wonderful to see.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of overcomers and kids who have made just massive, wonderful impacts in their community in positive ways. So it's a great program.
And it's a great program. May I interrupt real quick and say?
Of course.
Your son was a Rising Star Award winner at the Escondido Chamber when he was attending Classical Academy.
That's right. He was. That was kind of unique for me because this is my 10th year of doing Rising Star, but I've always been on this side of it, the chamber side. And so being on the parent side was just a whole new experience. So that was really cool.
It was really cool.
And so for those of you who are listening, if you've never experienced Rising Star and you think it might be a program you want to support, we're always looking for more supporters, more sponsors, because that means more scholarship money we can give at the end of the year, which is a piece of the reason we do it. So please reach out to us. We'd love to have you come experience a Rising Star breakfast and consider becoming a sponsor. Another program we have from the foundation, and I know you're getting up to speed on this one, so it's still, you're doing research, but so I'm not going to test you or anything, but it's our SoCal program. And it's another one focused on the high schools. Actually, this one can go down to say middle school-ish up through high school. And it's something that kind of bubbled up during COVID. We had in the past been, you know, very supportive of trying to connect students in the classroom to the real world of work out at job sites. But the old-fashioned model of doing field trips is onerous on schools and challenging. I always had a hard time when I was on the chamber side, you know, finding enough takers to host these field trips. So during 2020, you know, we had the collaboration of Vista Oceanside Carlsbad Chambers and Tri-City Medical Center and the San Diego North Economic Development Council. And we came up with this virtual platform to give students the same level of exposure. And it's called SoCalWorkforce.org. And we're up to 100-plus three-minute videos on different jobs and careers that are available here in North County. And I know you and I have been talking because we have some video shoots that we're finalizing dates on to go out and do some more videos. But these are a great way for our students to learn about careers that are right here in their own backyard. And of course, some of these careers are STEM-based, but not all of them. We also have welding and, you know, construction and things like that for those folks who are looking for some great opportunities to go into that don't require a four-year degree, et cetera. I'm excited to bring you into that program. I know you've been studying up on it a little bit. You've had a chance, I think, to look at the website, I believe.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, it is a wonderful program. SoCal is an acronym, like SCUBA or NASA or something like that. And it stands for Student Opportunities for Career Awareness and Learning. And I wish I would have had something like this when I was going to school. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, and I was infatuated with the marine biology.
Yeah.
And that led me to UCSD. And I came out here to UCSD, and after the first year, changed my major. And I still am in love with marine biology. I just wasn't aware of the things that it took to get to the next level in that and the competitiveness of that degree in that area. So SoCal has these videos, and if you want to be a marketing person and you're like, ooh, I would really like marketing, you can go to SoCalWorkforce.org and look at a variety of companies, whether it be Callaway Golf to a Viasat Thermo Fisher Solitude, large to small to very design-centric companies, and you can say, oh, what's it take to be a marketing manager at Callaway Golf? It's going to be way different than a marketing manager at Solitude or Viasat, where you're going to have different curriculum growing up in high school and college to get to those roles. But you'll hear firsthand from a variety of people, usually two or three people from each organization, what it took for them, what classes did they need to take in high school to get to where they are, what did they have to do in post-high school, whether that be a two-year college or a four-year college, what type of classes? What do they like about their job? What do they do at their job? What do they dislike about their job?
Right.
So a student's able to say, wow, I really, really, really wanted to be a scientist. And then they would see this and go, this is not my cup of tea.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're on the same website. And they're like, oh, coffee roaster.
Right.
I love coffee. I'm a barista my part-time, you know, going to high school, and I want to see what the next step is to, what's it take to roast coffee and to be that, or a small business owner. Kids are able to see that without going on a field trip. Like you said, it puts a huge burden financially and everything else on a school system, but they have it at their fingertips. And as I've explained to some of our members in meetings the past couple of weeks that have children, they're like, no, that's at their fingertips all the time. They can look at you're telling me they can look this up on their phone?
Yeah.
And I think it's something that, once again, has so much potential. And for all of our members out there, I would say be involved with Rising Stars, be involved with SoCal, because they're bringing your next generation of workforce, your next leaders in the community. These are students that probably appreciate living in North County, living in Carlsbad, want to continue doing that and support that. And so the business is here. If we can offer a direct pipeline of workers, of future workers that can be trained earlier and be more prepared going into that job and that workforce, it's a win-win.
Yeah, I agree. The thing that the teachers have told us they love about the SoCal platform is that they already have the ability to say, go on YouTube and find a video on the day in the life of an engineer or whatever the case might be. But you're going to end up with somebody from the East Coast or Europe or who knows where versus this program, everything is hyper-local. It's stuff right here in their backyard. It's tangible. They might have a neighbor who works at that company already, or they might drive by that building. You know, these are things that we want them to see as accessible and obtainable. So that's exciting, and it's a great program. And like you said, I think if a company, first of all, getting a company featured on here, it's great exposure for that company, because we know they all want talented workforce to come and choose them to consider working for. So this is great exposure for them.
Yeah, and it's a very reasonable program to get involved with. I think it's something that most companies would look at and say, wow, if we had to do this on our own or to create something like this on our own, using our in-house or on our own resources, it'd be a lot more expensive. Yeah, more expensive.
Exactly.
And I like how in the videos, there's graphics that come up that show what the students' learning was. And so many of the people are like very straightforward, very honest. Like, oh, I thought I wanted to be a marketer.
Yep.
And then I learned this, and this is way more creative, way different. And you get to hear kind of firsthand that everybody out there doesn't know what they want to do right now.
Yeah, so true. So another initiative our foundation started a couple of years ago was our Corporate Kindness Initiative. And this is a partnership with Kids for Peace. Kids for Peace has been so instrumental in bringing the Great Kindness Challenge to schools. We always are happy to brag that they started that with three elementary schools here in Carlsbad and now goes to, I don't even know how many thousands of schools and millions of students internationally.
111 countries, oof, if I believe correctly, yeah. 19 point something million students.
Wow, amazing.
And it started here in Carlsbad, California.
Started right here. Jill was co-founder back then. She still runs it today and we love her. But she came to us a couple of years ago and said we wanted to try to move the same kind of kindness mentality into corporate America. And we were all about it and excited to work with her on this initiative. And so we have, I think what, for Carlsbad companies, what do we have, about 70 maybe?
I think as of today, I think we have 78.
Okay.
That have joined to be a kindness certified company. And it makes sense. You know, it makes sense with all the dialogue that is happening now in our country and just like, you know, social media you can hide behind. It's not personal. And I think there needs to be a shift where people need to think more about your neighbor and your neighbor in a business as well and be nice to them. I mean, it's not like asking too much, you yeah. know, to be nice and yeah. to be kind. And of course it starts with schools, young elementary, you know, about bullying and making people more aware that everybody is different and mm-hmm. you don't all have the same beliefs, the same ideas. But to take that to corporate, and they all want to do that. You know, they don't want to have like infighting in their business or people talking behind their backs. And the more they can adopt this mentality and this philosophy, it's going to help them with their overall, with their bottom line. They're going to have happier employees. They're going to have more people not calling out sick or working remotely because of conflict, because of things they don't want to experience at the workplace. And I think it's something where people can say, you know what, I want to be on board from that, you know, and oh, that company is a kindness company? Well, shoot, we could be a kindness company too.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, on the talent attraction side, like who doesn't want to work for a company that, because when you become a kindness certified company, you're asserting, it's a self-assertion, but you're asserting that you are good to your people, that you're good to the community, and that you're good to the environment, right? And we know the upcoming workforce, those are all things that matter to them. So why not certify and become part of this movement and let these, you know, you see these young people who have grown up in this environment in their schools of celebrating kindness every year, you know, appeal to them and be like, hey, come work for us. I know you have options, but work for us. We are a kindness certified company.
Absolutely. I think you said it perfect, Brett. If you're growing up in this generation and you've adopted this mentality and you're successful in your schooling and you have two companies to choose from and they both are offering great things, but one's a kindness certified company and you have that knowledge in your background, you're like, okay, I'm going there.
Yeah.
You know, versus the other one.
I would.
Yeah. It's a very simple solution. And I think it's a simple solution for our members and businesses in the region to join the program and to get on board and say, you know what, we support it too.
Yeah, I agree. So those are some things we already have in the foundation that are active. And I know you're rapidly getting up to speed on all of them. But we also have some ideas about new stuff. Junior CEO programs.
That's what I want to do. I want to do both those. But I was talking to, oh, I hope I pronounce her name right, Tamina, who's our neighbor here at Hera Hub Carlsbad. And we were talking about some of the initiatives this morning that the foundation is currently working on, as Brett said, and that we want to do. And junior CEO is something that has been brought in to chambers in the past. It's an idea that you brought up to me. And I think that it has the massive potential here to look at minority-owned, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses. Because a lot of people might say, oh, the CEO of Callaway Golf, that's a very, very, probably, maybe an unattainable position for me. And I don't know what the heck they do. But I think smaller businesses nowadays, people are going, oh, I would like to run my own business. Well, what's it take to do that? And you go and meet with that CEO. And Tamina, female, and high up in her company, if you could hear what it takes to run a small company as a woman or as a minority or a veteran, you're going to say, wow, I can do that. Yeah. There's nothing that I can't do. And going back to Rising Stars, you know, those students have overcome everything. And if they were to meet somebody from a small company to a large and hear what it takes to be that CEO on a day-to-day, get in their shoes, they'd be like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. They're like, that's not for me. But sure. I think it puts people in that position to say, wow, I had no idea that Brett spends so much time working, you know, like a CEO, it's a very simple title, CEO, three letters, but it's very involved.
Very involved.
And I think to hear, you know, there's, if you look at our board makeup, and there are so many amazing people on the board and the foundation board, and they go the gamut from small to large business, and they've all gone through different things. So if we had a junior CEO program that people could speak to this, I think it would be really, really good for the community. The other one you touched on is Boots to Business.
Yeah.
With our proximity to Cap Pendleton, it's a program that has been done with chambers of commerce in areas that have a close proximity to military bases. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's like around 8,000 to 9,000 Marines that are coming off of Camp Pendleton every single year.
Yeah, 9,000 active duty, you know, folks who are leaving active duty
and want to work.
And if they had the opportunities in this area, would love to stay, you know. Of course, many of them might be from other parts of the country, but when they exit their service, they're here at Camp Pendleton. So they've gotten a familiarity with this little slice of heaven that we all call home. And if they can find great opportunities, they'd love to stay.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, something I didn't really think about in kind of looking at this deeper is the fact that many of the active duty people at Camp Pendleton are from Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, or California.
Sure.
But I think once you said it perfectly, our little slice of heaven, our little slice of this perfect pie here in North County and Carlsbad, if people saw that, they might say, hey, you know, Mom, I know you want me to come home. I just got out of the Marines, and, you know, you really want me in Charlotte, North Carolina, but guess what? I'm going to stay working here in Carlsbad, and you can come and visit.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. But it's back to that workforce that so many people here need on a regular basis as we continue to grow. All the businesses here in North County and Carlsbad, they're hiring on a regular basis. And you have these highly trained people coming out of the military that some of them are highly skilled.
So true.
And they're ready to work. And so that's something that we want to get involved with. I'm really looking forward to getting more involved with the Military Affairs Committee for that, the Education Committee for Rising Stars, Junior CEO in SoCal.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah, and more. More to come. But we'll let you settle in a little more before we hold your feet to the fire too much on a lot of new stuff. I know on the personal side, well, first of all, you already mentioned your love for cats. And so we share
any
that.
Animal. Yeah, yeah.
We share that affinity cats, yeah. as being cat people. So that's cool. But you're also quite a cycler.
I do. I enjoy cycling and biking. I have most of my life. Long story short, I grew up BMX racing in Indiana. When I moved, I was ranked number 6 in the state as an amateur before moving out here. And so I was really into it, moved out here. Yeah, I had all kinds of sponsors too as a kid growing up BMX. It was like I'll never forget Grab On Grips from Walla Walla, Washington was a sponsor of mine. Yeah, I moved out here and then got into mountain biking. Really, I still cycle a lot, almost every other day.
Great. But then you also have this really unique hobby that most people probably are not even aware is a hobby, and that is that you collect vintage beer cans.
I do.
So explain what that means to people.
I do. Okay. Everybody knows what a can is. We're fortunate that the United States of America invented the beer can January 24th, 1935. That was the first time beer was ever put in a can anywhere in the world. It was via the Kruger Beer Company in Pennsylvania, but they released it in Virginia, close enough to get it down there and it would be fresh. But if it didn't, if it failed, if the can failed, it wouldn't disrupt their home market. And the can was a success, a true success to the fact that, and these were cans that are all steel that didn't have an opener. So you had to use what they call a church key or opener to puncture the hole in the can. And that was the common way for cans to be opened until the late 50s. And the Iron City Beer Company introduced the pull tab, where you could pop the top off or the tab off. And they also, where they were from Pennsylvania as well, they also released the beer in Virginia, close enough, but they figured, hey, if it worked for Kruger and if it was going to fail, it was far enough away that it wouldn't hurt them. And then that revolutionized can industry as we know it around the world. But yeah, so they phased out steel cans and into aluminum in the late 70s. And so I collect cans from 1935 to 1976.
Wow.
Generally that thing, but not just cans. I really am into advertising, signs, trays. Anything beer related, belt buckles. my collection's crazy. It's
amazing.
Trays. I have thousands of items.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Super fun. And then, you know, so those of you who are meeting Chris for the first time on this podcast, you know, when you bump into him at a networking event, now you'll have some things to quiz him about and learn more about or connect with. Maybe you're a cycler or a craft beer fan. Or
you walk up and you say, hey, you know what? My grandfather has a bunch of old beer cans. And I'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. Can I see them?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're really excited to have you as part of our team here, Chris, and get you going on these initiatives for the foundation. And, you know, down the road, we expect we'll probably come up with more that didn't even get discussed today, but it's great to have you and looking forward to the future.
Brett, thank you very much. And I just want to give a shout out to you, to Kathleen, to Kathy, to Daryl, to Rosie, and to Edgar and Len here at the Chamber, Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce. The team has been fantastic, welcoming me in, helping me, answering all my silly questions, pointing me in the right direction. I'm really thrilled at the opportunity. And I'd also like to thank all the board members I've met and looking forward to meeting the ones I have not and for giving me the opportunity.
Fantastic. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on our Carlsbad People, Purpose, and Impact podcast. If you got value out of our episode today, please hit the follow button on your favorite podcast app, and please tell a friend. Can't wait to see you next time on Carlsbad People, Purpose, and Impact.